Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, it's the 1st of May, so we'll bring you Nature's Almanac. Then we'll hear about getting teens connected with mental health professionals while schools are closed. After that, we'll hear about the important work of cultural brokers in Boulder County, connecting local officials with the Spanish-speaking community to get vital information about the COVID-19 pandemic. Rounding out this morning's Morning Magazine, we'll bring you a new weekly segment, Trends Diary, a project of the Community Foundation of Boulder County and a place for residents of all ages to share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. And this is all happening despite the increased isolation that we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. At 9:30, Cathy will be in as your host for Connections. But first, we'll get the latest local headlines. A large homeless encampment in Five Points in Denver was cleared on Thursday, despite guidance from the Centre for Disease Control that says not to break up homeless camps, as that can disperse people who are potentially infected with COVID-19 into the community, and it also severs their ties with service providers. The Denverite reports that the city said they were concerned about the public right-of-way being blocked and that health and safety was being undermined as the area had become increasingly hazardous. At least 200 people experiencing homelessness in Denver have tested positive for COVID-19, including some at the recently opened shelter for men at the National Western Center's Hall of Education. Advocates for the homeless and other groups, including the Interfaith Alliance of Colorado, had called for Thursday morning's cleanup to be cancelled as a matter of public health and of human dignity. They're also calling on Denver City officials to prioritise finding housing for those experiencing homelessness during the COVID-19 pandemic. Today is May Day, or International Workers' Day, and labour unions and community groups from Colorado will be rallying online to demand that Governor Polis support cancelling rent amidst the COVID-19 pandemic. The virtual rally is part of a nationwide movement calling for rent and mortgages to be cancelled for the millions of Americans being impacted economically by the pandemic. People can sign up for the Colorado Virtual Cancel Rent Rally happening today at bit.ly/cancelrentco. Open space officials in communities around the Front Range say that trails are being damaged by overuse during the COVID-19 pandemic. In a statement on Thursday that was co-signed by parks and open space officials from around the metro area, problems were identified, like damage being done to plants due to people going off trail into out-of-bounds sensitive areas and overusing certain areas. People are being asked to avoid high-use trails, to practice social distancing on trails while at the same time respecting the boundaries of the trails, and also to wear masks while recreating on open space. Overuse of trails and open space has been an ongoing problem during the pandemic. Last week, Governor Polis advised people to recreate within 10 miles of their home. Warm weather again in the forecast for the Front Range today. Highs in the low 80s under mostly sunny skies. Expect temperatures to cool off a little bit on Saturday. Some afternoon thunderstorms are possible with highs in the upper 60s.
It's May. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder County naturalist Steve Jones and Scott Sievers.
Scott, I hear a house wren, a blackbird, a song sparrow in the distance.
Good morning, Dove.
It's spring. Sawhill ponds.
Yeah.
We've come out here to look for osprey. So let's hike back to the osprey nest and see what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. So we've walked down to one of the furthest south lakes and we've got the ospreys here.
Oh, I see the one on the telephone pole. There's one sitting on the nest platform.
Yeah, I think she's incubating.
Probably incubating eggs.
Hold the binoculars up. She looks pretty snug.
When I moved to Boulder just 50 years ago, we never would have imagined seeing ospreys in Boulder.
Yeah.
They probably did nest in Colorado, but not on the plains because we didn't have all these lakes.
Not at all.
These are all gravel ponds here at Sawhill. And then with the DDT, I don't know how many ospreys were left.
In New Jersey, I can remember ospreys were really impacted by DDT. And you'd think of a place like New Jersey with a lot of coastal marshes. You couldn't find them.
I think we may have been down to just a few thousand birds in all of North America.
Yeah.
And then they started showing up in Boulder County in the 1990s.
Yeah.
You probably know the number. I'm guessing we have about 12 to 15 nests out here on the plains.
In Longmont, we have about half a dozen or more nests right now.
Do.
Yeah. Another great resource, especially during these times, is the Boulder County Osprey Cam. You can just Google Boulder County Osprey Cam, and that'll bring you live video from the Boulder County Fairgrounds, where a pair of osprey have nested for quite a few years now. And then they have an amazingly engaged chat group. People from all around the world watching this pair of birds and really invested in their success.
That's great.
Yeah.
So this nest we're looking at is on an artificial nest platform on a pole. They have fished historically around harbors. The harbors are great places for them to fish because they can perch on the masts of boats, and there are always fish there, and of course there are anglers bringing in fish and maybe dumping some of them. But they're a wild bird, and they were endangered in North America.
Yeah.
So they're very much protected. And I guess the question I would raise is, how much do they need to be protected on the plains of Boulder County, where they historically didn't nest, now that they've recovered? Should we be putting up these platforms?
Here's the strange conundrum that we face where I work in the city of Longmont. The ospreys without platforms are building in unsafe places, like on utility poles. A lot of our public service operators race around trying to put up poles adjacent to these nests and to get the birds to go to the right places. How many poles are we going to have to build to negate ospreys trying to build on utility poles? The other thing is fish. 99% of their diet is fish. How dependent are they on us stocking these ponds and lakes? Oh, the osprey is being mercilessly harassed by a red-winged blackbird.
Oh, it's right on its tail. It just went, oh, it just hit it.
Oh.
And then the red-winged blackbird chased a female around. Anyway.
Look, no, he's chasing. There's three here.
Oh, yeah, here's the third osprey coming in. So they have a helper, apparently.
Oh, we've got four ospreys here now.
Oh, listen to that call. They're chirping at us.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a juvenile.
It could be, or it could be another less experienced pair trying to see, you know, hey, can we steal this nest?
You know, we have all these urban adapted species.
Exactly.
And we're changing their behavior.
Yeah.
And I can't say it's a good thing, but we can't judge the birds for it. That's what I'm saying.
No, they're definitely taking advantage of situations. Here, Sawhill Ponds, an artificial landscape developed for fishing. It's a perfect habitat for ospreys and their fishing habits.
We're, I'd say now, a half mile from the nest. We're walking back, and this osprey just flew in, trailing a big stick that's landed in one of the tallest power poles, and it put the stick on top of the power pole.
This might be that other pair we were watching, and
I'm wondering if these could be like 2-year-old birds.
Just
messing around. And out of respect to these ospreys at Sawhill, we're not going to say exactly where the nest pole is. If you come to Sawhill Ponds and walk west, you'll eventually find it. It's a nice area because it's an area that's close to the public, so they're pretty well protected, I think.
Yeah, and with any of these nesting raptors, the closer you get, the more pressure you're putting on them to be watching you and not doing what they need to do for their well-being.
Yeah, I'd say stay a quarter mile away from any raptor nests, including ospreys.
Yeah.
Steve Jones and Scott Sievers are friends and Boulder naturalists.
Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, mental health professionals were raising the alarm about a growing crisis in youth mental health. Now that many young people are at home and not at school, and away from their friends, teachers and school counsellors, concerted efforts are being made to make sure that they can have access to mental health resources. The Second Wind Fund of Boulder County connects young people with mental health professionals, and they're referred to the organisation through school counsellors. Well, now that schools are closed, they're working online. I spoke with Mary Campbell, who's a board member with the organisation. She's also a high school counsellor at Peak to Peak Charter School in Boulder Valley. And I spoke with Jenna Clincher, who is the executive director of the Second Wind Fund.
We've had to make some changes to our program to try to reach the youth because we have seen the numbers decrease. Interestingly enough, the past couple of weeks, we've started to see it increase, but the kids have now been back in school for, I want to say, 3 or 4 weeks. So I think they're getting settled. And so that's probably offering more time for them to communicate. And I know counselors are reaching out to their youth more. So we also have been trying to reach out to the parents of the youth, where we've never done that before, but to let the parents know to reach out to their children's counselor if their child needs mental health therapy at this time. So it's just, it's really trying to adjust, right? Like everybody else in the community is trying to do. We're trying to adjust our program so our kids are still being seen.
Well, Mary, you're a high school counselor, so you're seeing firsthand the difficulties of maybe communicating with kids that you would normally see face to face every day in the schools. You're getting input from their teachers at the schools. How is it working for you? What's your sense of how, as a counselor, it's working right now communicating with the kids?
I think it's all over the map. I think you hit it on the nail on the head. Is, you know, some students this actually structure is working really well for, and they're really responsive. We're doing Google Meets, you know, we're able to talk. And I think the more challenging piece, and the students that Jenna is referring to especially, is, you know, what do you do when you can't get a hold of a student, you can't get a hold of their adults at home, you're emailing, you're calling, you're texting. That's, I think, the hardest part. Is, you know, normally we would be able to go and have the student come out of class and meet with them and check in. And so I think, you know, I'm seeing such a range, and some of the communication is going really well, but definitely it's really challenging. The kids who are struggling to just get out of bed to do anything, it's really hard to reach them right now.
Well, in terms of the resources and in terms of the help, what is there? And particularly if there is anybody listening right now, either a student or a family member who really feels that they're in a crisis situation, what can they do?
I think, you know, definitely for our young people who are in schools, I would definitely say, you know, continue or reach out to that adult that you trust in your building. Reach out to your counselor, because Second Wind is still taking new students. We're doing telehealth. We are connecting our students with therapists. And so I would say, you know, reach out to your counselor. Also, you know, if young people are listening, talk with your adults. I think, you know, none of us adults are perfect. And also, I think that in my 20 years of experience, I would say that I can say every adult who has a child wants their child to be okay and thrive and be here. And so I think as scary as it can be sometimes to reach out, you know, talking with your adults, but that you're not alone and that there are people here in your community who really do care for you and will help you get the support you need. And that there's no book right now. None of us have ever experienced this. And there's no right or wrong way to walk through this right now. And also, you know, we want everyone to come through together. And sometimes I think we can't do that alone. And we need people.
Well, it's clear that your services are needed more than ever. And so much of your funding, you know, comes from the community, and that your biggest annual fundraiser has changed and morphed a little bit. It's usually a 5K run around the Boulder Reservoir, but it is also happening online, and it is happening this Sunday. But this also presents opportunities for people really around the world. Anyone can now participate. So give us some details on what's happening with the fundraiser, Jenna.
So we did change it to virtual, and we're telling people, since some of us are still socially really required to be socially isolated. We are encouraging people to run, walk, get on your stair stepper. I know my children and I are going to be out playing soccer and riding bikes, trying to get that to that 3,500. We're having it. We have an app so people can put a picture, their picture showing us how they are reaching their 5K. Really what we want is this to be a fun day. We want people to an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, just not to think about the pandemic. Come out, have fun, go outside, stay inside, run in place, run up and down the stairs, play kickball, whatever you want. Let's just have a day of community. And I'll tell you, our community has come together. And I love what you said about worldwide. Our farthest person so far is from Hong Kong that will be getting to the 5K. So I just think that's so special, and that we can all work together, I mean, as a community and as a world, to end youth suicide, or, you know, have that be our goal. So it's fun, it's exciting, it's new for us, and it's gonna be new for the community. But it, again, we just wanna have that hour of forgetting. So join us.
You can find out more about the Second Wind Fund of Boulder County and their fundraising virtual 5K that's happening this Sunday online at swfbc.org. Well, during the pandemic, it is important that all members of the community get accurate information about resources and support that's available. KGNU's Rosanna Longo brings us this report on cultural brokers and a program that seeks to do just that right here in Boulder County.
My name is Guillermo Estrada Rivera. I am the Cultural Brokers Resilience Program Coordinator of Boulder County. The Cultural Brokers Resilience Program is a project or a program that helps cultural brokers, who are those bridges, those community partners that help connect the community and the services, bring them together and have conversations and build relationships so we can, as a community, move forward being more equitable and more resilient, and in general having more community building in the process. We want to have access to la gente, the community, specifically for the Latinx community right now, while we expand to other diverse communities. And because we start with the Latinx community and knowing what's happening during the COVID crisis, we know that a lot of undocumented community members don't have access to traditional recovery structures. So from the Cultural Brokers Resilience Program perspective, we identified this as a need and partnered with multiple community agencies within the government, outside the government, and even with private businesses to identify gaps, to ensure equity practices, and expand access to recovery services. We are doing a Google spreadsheet that has a catalog of resources, sourcing from original pages such as the government, the county, the cities, and others, and filtering them, making sure that they're accessible for the Boulder County and neighboring areas, families that are undocumented. And from that, we're going to be creating a community campaign, an awareness campaign to bring people to those services. Those harder to reach populations, we want them to know that these resources are accessible, that there are cultural brokers and there are community partners that are here to help them, and so they know that they're not alone in this process, that they can reach out and be helped and access and move forward after this crisis is over or mitigated. So we are focusing on both the emergency response and the recovery process that will continue after all this is stabilized.
So this communications campaign is going to be out there to create awareness of the resources and the services available. But also, are those services available for people that do not have a social security number?
Exactly. So that is why we are creating this resource catalog, looking at all the resources that have been shared and making sure that they're accessible for the undocumented community, for the people that are not social security holders or mixed status homes, people that don't have access to traditional recovery structures. There are some of these resources that are available for them. So we want to make sure that we direct them or we help them access the right resources rather than having them spending hours and resources in accessing or going to places that might not have the capacity to work with them.
Spanish-speaking, monolingual Spanish-speaking community has the residents here in Boulder County is the problem of accessing these resources many times because of the language barriers. Are you going to have this information bilingual?
So we are focusing solely in Spanish production of materials and information because we are focusing on the Latinx undocumented community. So everything that we are producing, it's in Spanish, and it's being worked on by language access consultants and professionals that are helping us to make this as accessible as possible for the Spanish-speaking community.
Normally, what we have seen in other crises is that people have a problem with the language, but also they don't trust the government. So we have that piece too, the lack of trust in the system, and that's the reason people don't trust the system and they don't go into the system.
Communities that are undocumented or mixed status, there is a lot of fear of accessing these resources. So that is the key skill and the key component that cultural brokers bring to the table, creating those relationships, being bridges in the community to bring people together, express their needs, and make the changes necessary to better serve all the community members in Boulder County.
And there will be a Zoom call happening this morning at 10 o'clock to find out more about the Cultural Brokers Resilience Program. It's a 30-minute orientation in Spanish starting at 10 a.m. You can find out more about the program online at the Boulder County SUMA. On Friday mornings here at KGNU, we're going to be bringing you a new feature, the stories of people from around Boulder County on how they're being impacted by the COVID-19 crisis. It's a project of the Community Foundation of Boulder County. Here's Trends Diaries.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Hi there, my name is Ryan Van Duzer, and my story is called Finding the Helpers.
Dear Diary, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Mr. Rogers. I love that quote. There's so much negativity in the news right now. Even when it's not negative, the statistics themselves are scary. I decided to highlight people in Boulder who are helping. I put out a call on Facebook, got a list, and rode my bike around Boulder to film these people in action. That's what I do. I make videos. My YouTube channel is Doozer TV and is dedicated to outdoor adventure. But I wanted to share a story that can inspire other people. And I love highlighting anything that is Boulder. The thing about the people in my video, the helpers, is that they're all doing relatable stuff. Some of the people I found were just kids drawing on the sidewalk to put a smile on people's faces. They aren't professional volunteers. They're just people who woke up and said, "I want to do something." Anybody can do what these people are doing.
Dear Diary, my name is Lynn Simons, and I'm used to having a very active life. Before the COVID-19 outbreak, I was busy all the time, either volunteering for Boulder County or with Intercambio teaching ESL classes. I was always on the go. But suddenly, in 1 week, everything stopped. I started to feel really isolated and was struggling myself to find motivation to get out and be active. The situation is so unlike anything I've ever been through. So I started thinking, what can I do? I'm a retired project manager, and I decided to create a group called COVID-19 Challenge. Let's walk off those 19 pounds that staying home are adding. Participants have to accumulate individually the highest number of walking steps in a month to receive a monetary award at the end. I thought, I'm going to put the challenge out there and see if we can help motivate and encourage each other in these uncertain times. Sometimes this is all you need, another person helping you get motivated. The challenge was open to everyone at the beginning, and it was just a coincidence that ultimately the group ended up being mainly Latinas who I had met teaching my ESL classes at Intercambio, where I've been a teacher for over 8 years. There are 12 wonderfully diverse Longmont women who are separately, yet together, participating in this challenge. And to date, our group has walked over 2 million miles separately, but yet together, encouraging each other. I'm so pleased to see that everyone seemed to need this. It's a way to feel that there are other people out there together with us, even when we have to be separate.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.
And we'll hear more Trends Diaries next Friday morning, right here at KGNU. Thanks for listening to The Morning Magazine. I'm Maeve Conran.